That's $189.
The meeting of the Senate Finance Committee will please come to order. It's Monday, May 17th, 2012, and we have just one item on our agenda. It's House File 322, and Senator Jungbauer is here to present it. Welcome, Senator Jungbauer.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I have before you House File 322, which is a change in the presumption of percentage of shared parenting time. Basically, it's pretty simple. The last time we changed it, we basically changed the number from 25 to 35 in terms of percentage.
8% or
10%. I don't know if you guys did you. I'm the new chief author, so it came to finance once, but I don't know if you heard it or it just.
Senator Jungbauer, we did not. It was a motion was made almost immediately to refer it to the Judiciary Committee, so we haven't covered the bill. So if you'd give us a brief overview.
Okay, Madam Chair, members, I can't find my actual copy of the last iteration of the bill here. Let's see. It
people that will participate.
I don't know where it went there. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Basically, on line 1.9 and 110, what's underlined, we're adding the presumption of minimum parenting time, and then in the statute, when you go to line 2.16, again, in the presumption, we change the number from 25 to 35. And under 2.2 on, we actually phase it in and do a couple of different things with the actually putting the bill into effect. And the idea is to roll in so the judges don't have as much work and the workload. There will be arguably a minimal increase in workload from people changing or asking for a change order from that 25 to 35%, and that's where you're really seeing the tails tick up in fiscal year 15. There's a presumption that that uptick will require a judge unit. Now, it's out in another fiscal biennium, different budget time, so we don't deal with that. But it is a tail, and we have to decide, or the future legislature would then have to decide, do they fund new judgeship? Is there really that much more work? We actually did some looking at other states, and we found actually four other states that did a similar simple change like this just in the percentage, and there was no increase in work. There was a short period of time where they had a little uptick, but it didn't change anything else. So there was a worry in the original House File 322 that came from the House was a huge file that would have changed a lot of things, and that's what we went back to Judiciary for, was to keep it minimal and just do this this small change and phase it in to try to keep the workload at a minimum.
So, Senator Jungbauer, it actually affects the children's overnight stays with their non-custodial parent. Is that what you would call them yet, or are
that's
we...
That's correct.
That. I'm looking at the fiscal note members, and the assumption is that the parenting time would change from 25%, which is 91 overnights per year, to 35%, 129 overnights per year, which is a difference of 37 overnights per year. Of course, now, Senator Jungbauer, a judge does not have to do this if there's reason for concern about the time spent with a non-custodial parent?
Yes, Madam Chair and members. This is only in the general presumption going before a judge. We didn't mess with anything in terms of if there was a what am I thinking? It's Monday morning. It's one of those days. We didn't go into anything where there's other issues in the family, domestic violence, those kind of things. We're not going into that end of the statute, and we didn't change anything in terms of the judge's discretion. So, meaning the judge still has full discretion in looking at the case and deciding on the child's behalf of what is best for the child. So it's we kept it pretty simple. The statutes are very lengthy in terms of how this is applied and all the different ways it can be applied, but we kept it on the simple end of the statute, if that makes sense. So you come before the judge, and as I understand it, Senator Newman understands this much better than I, but as a judge looks at it in terms of the shared parenting time, we're looking at that's kind of the starting point, assuming there's no other issues in terms of problems in the family.
So, Senator Youngbar, we're starting not until 2013, July 1st, 2013. Is that on all new orders, or do the new orders start sooner?
Madam Chair and members, it's my understanding that that is when the new orders start, would be at that implementation time in 2013. Nothing would change until that point. And then it would be July 1st of 2014 before somebody that has an existing order could come back before the court and ask for a change based on this change.
Do members have questions? I know that the policy of this bill has been thoroughly discussed in the past, so we're mainly looking at the fiscal implications here. As Senator Youngbauer pointed out, that there are none in the current biennium, but that it could require an additional judgeship in the next fiscal year and maybe more in the out years. But it is, you know, once this is established and the change orders are made, it would be just I would suspect maybe a short uptick, and then it would be based on that from all years going forward. So it is something that we do have to consider, that there might be a slight increase in the workload. It isn't something we have to fund this year. It would have to be looked at in the next budget cycle.
And Madam Chair and members, you know, it is interesting, 10 years here and looking at fiscal notes, when the new cases would come before a judge, it's a simple change. And so I don't understand how there's more work. We're changing a number, and you're having to look at it and understand. The judge has to think in terms of how to apply that number. But certainly in the second year, when it's phased in and people come back for a change order, assuming they would qualify for a change based on this statute change, that would be an uptick, but then it would go back to normal. And it's interesting, when we change the rules in the legislature, we always see a fiscal note that says it's going to cost some money, but the same bureaucracies, when they use rulemaking or change things, in this case through case law, judges' decisions that come down, that never seems to cost any more money. Or when they make internal changes and come before us and ask for those changes, they always say they can absorb it. But if we change, even basically we're changing a number on a page, they're talking a big fiscal consideration. And that, to me, doesn't make sense.
And Senator Youngbauer, you did not change the payments that the non-custodial parent would have to make, right? I mean, that's ongoing. That is not included in this proposal.
That's correct, Madam Chair. We didn't change anything in that.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an area that I am not real familiar with, but when you, well, I was just looking at the impact on the nights. You mentioned there's a change in the nights, and talking about the expectations of, and I'm not sure if this affects those children that, you know, are, what's it, I don't know, did everybody get this?
It's in the,
is it part of the, anyway, it has to do with these supervised visitations and the fact that there are not many of those places where those supervised visitations can occur.
Senator Stump, I don't believe this addresses that situation where there are no unsupervised visits allowed. But I understand what you're saying, that they look for safe places where these supervised visits can occur, and we do seem to have a shortage of those in some instances in some areas of the state.
But this wouldn't affect us, you're saying?
But it wouldn't affect that, I don't believe at all.
Madam Chair and Senator Stumpf, we still keep under the statute the current standard. The judge looks at what is in the best interest of the child. We didn't change any of those terms. And really, when we're talking about this kind of a case and the presumption, it only affects what judges, of the cases that are out there, judges only decide somewhere between 1 and 6% of those cases. The other ones are negotiated out attorney to attorney.
Madam Chair and Senator Jungbauer, your estimation of the change on line 1.9, presumption of a minimum parenting time, and then the 35% wouldn't have any impact on that?
On?
Senator Jungbauer.
On the outcomes?
Senator Stump, I'm not certain what you're talking of, but what we're at and where we're changing is 25 to 35%. That's in a presumption. So when you come before a judge, in those cases that come before where the judge gets to use that rule and decide, are only 1 to 6% of the cases that are out there in terms of divorces or child custody issues. So changing from 25 to 35% changes that, and I do have, I should have made a handout, but I have a handout. We can probably make copies real quick, but it talks about what the difference is, and you're basically kind of going from about 4 overnights to 5 overnights, and as Madam Chair said, would you like this handout for folks?
I think that the assumptions on page 2 of the fiscal note can help us with that information.
So we think, Madam Chair and Senator Stump, it's this in this particular case, we're trying to, the House wanted to change a lot of things in the law, and there's a lot of appetite on the House side. There wasn't a lot of appetite on the Senate side to change much. So we tried, in order to keep the bill alive, so to speak, and keep something moving, we made it the change as small and as minimal of impact as we thought we could and still keep something active in this arena that does affect a lot of folks.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may be an unfair question for you, but does making those changes have any influence on the negotiated settlements? I mean, when something is in the statute, you said only 1 to 6% of the cases come to before the judge that this would direct, but the fact that that is a basis for those kinds of situations, do you think that would influence what might go on in those negotiated cases?
Senator Jungbauer.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, I'm certain that will have an effect when we put that in the statute and that change. Again, that doesn't affect anything fiscally when it's negotiated, and that's the issue on that point. But certainly, when we change that number, that does affect the way everyone looks at that shared parenting time.
Are there any other questions? Is there anyone in the audience who wants to testify for or against the fiscal impact of the bill? Mr. Carlson.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and I'm here on behalf of the coalition, Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women, and we have strong concerns about this, and I think Senator Stump is getting on to one of those concerns is on those situations where there are exchanges that are supervised. Is there going to be financing available for them? That's not addressed in the court's fiscal note. It didn't go back to Human Services to look at that issue on those supervised visitations. But you need to know that over 60% of the women who are killed by their intimate partner happen at the time of separation or dissolution. And this change, which we feel is a significant change, will have a dramatic impact on safety for battered women and their children, and we are very concerned about it. We've long held that view going back to at least 1999 when I first started working on this issue. And I see on Senator Goodwin's nameplate, when you turn it around, it says Senator Neville on it. And I first started working on this with Senator Neville. And the 25% you need to know was not pulled out of the air. That was an agreed-upon number because it worked for families and it worked for what's in the best interest of children. And I would encourage you before, and I understand, you know, the bill is going to move along, but I would encourage you to look at what Minnesota has done with the best interest factors in 518.17, because this is going to, 40 nights, almost 40 nights a year, is going to have a dramatic impact on children. And some of those best interest factors, like the preference of a child, of a teenager who doesn't want to be with one parent or the other because of school or family issues. You're talking about a significant change in time, the ability of the parents to get along, domestic abuse, the ability of a parent to actually care for the child. There are children who are disabled, and there are parents who are disabled that can't equally provide care for each other. I really would encourage you to look at this, because we are now saying that the presumption is 35%, and you are one or two nights away from shared custody, and we think that is going to dramatically drive litigation and costs in the court, because as Senator Olson indicated, we're trying to solve an issue for the 6% of cases where parents want to get more parenting time, but this is going to have a dramatic impact on the 94% of cases that currently resolve, because now they have something to litigate over. You're talking about being one or two nights away from shared custody at 35%, and we strongly have concerns about it and opposition to it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Yeah, well, Madam Chair and Mr. Carlson, I'm not sure I track with your logic there, but the law isn't changed. On like on 1.18, if the court finds after a hearing that parenting time with a parent is likely to endanger the child's physical or emotional health or impair the child's emotional development, maybe they may restrict parenting time. There's several categories that lead up to this, that in the absence of other evidence, there is a rebuttable presumption that a parent is entitled to this number. So why would that change and make that, just because the time is greater, it would seem to me that there you don't have evidence of the other kinds of things that you're talking about that would endanger them to go forward. So for those that want to and are able to, this at least, you know, it elevates that involvement. I think we're paying the price for, in too many cases, where children are deprived of having the building a bond and a relationship with both their parents, and that's costly to our society and to the mostly to the child. So I hate to see these battlegrounds, but I know they occur, and I don't think the effort that is going forward here is attempting to create more battleground, but it's trying to protect those interests on the part of the child, and yet recognizing that human beings and their failings that we know we all have, that there has to be some protections as well. But I'm not sure that I see that this bill is changing that.
And Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair and Senator Olson, respectfully, I think it is going to have a dramatic change on that. And when you look at the 25% presumption, you are looking at one night a week and every other weekend. Just when you just do the math, it's four nights out of the 14-day period, which is how they calculate it. Now when you're looking at five nights or more, you are going to have people who are going to have to push more back on that presumption to get the judge to now consider, you know what, I can live with every other weekend and one night a week. And that's how the 25, I mean, you need to see that that's how 25% came to be. But as you change that, as you have an upward excursion from that number, people are going to have greater concerns about safety. They're going to have greater concerns about the amount of time away from their primary home, and they are going to have more litigation, not less, more litigation over this. And we're trying to solve a problem to give more parenting time for the 6% of cases that can't resolve themselves. And those are the families that are least able to have that cooperation. They, by the very fact that they're not resolved, if they keep continuing the struggle, they're demonstrating that they can't get that done without the court. And those are the ones that we're going to say, you're going to do even more shared parenting, which they we already know they can't cooperate. And so that is our concern. And in instance of family violence, which I've said many times, but is not necessarily about a black eye or a broken arm. You know, domestic abuse is many times about control. And when now I have 35% control and you've got to fight like crazy to overcome that presumption, you're just going to lead to more litigation and not less. And that's our concern. That's why 25% was agreed to. And this move to change it, you know, we think is a step in the wrong direction for families. So I appreciate your time.
How long have we had 25%?
I believe it was 2006 when it first started. But I can tell you that the push at that time was for House File 322 in the House version. And the first time I got involved in this issue was in 1999, and at that point it was a joint custody bill, mandatory joint custody, much like the language that is in the original House File 322. So we're going to keep coming back to that until in those 6% of cases we make a dramatic change, and I think it's going to have a dramatic impact on families in a negative way.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. And I think the opposite. I think Mr. Carlson doesn't see the other end of it in terms of the positives. There's many cases where, you know, parents want to have shared or more time. And certainly, you know, I've seen it over and over again. The courts are biased in their presumptions and the way they apply things. And we didn't get into that part of the law, as Senator Olson said. We left in that the court still has a standard of the best interest of the child. And so there's all that latitude, and certainly people will come back and try to change a lot of that, but that's not what we're getting to. I think moving it to this presumption of 35%, you know, I hope we see the effects of that before we start arguing. Many times we put new laws into effect and we don't ever see what the outcome is, positive or negative, before we start playing with things. So I think it is time, based on the court's action, to move this number to 35%.
We have another testifier.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Oops, ouch. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Melinda Hugdahl for Legal Services. I just wanted to comment briefly on the negotiating piece and I think how it impacts the role of the courts and the impact to the courts. When you look at 25% or 35%, you have to remember that's the minimum floor. So the legislature is saying this is at least the minimum expectation we have of you when you go into family court. So it goes from 2 to 3 overnights to a minimum of 5 overnights in a 2-week period. Even if you extrapolate that out into a longer period of over a year, that's still a lot of overnights. I think it's every night of the summer plus at least one weekend night every weekend of the school year. So when you start increasing those numbers, you start having families where 25% or more has a wide latitude of situations that it'll accommodate when they're negotiating that out. 25% and those factors work together fairly well. When you go up to 5 overnights in a 2-week period, you start having families where either because it's conflict or just the realities of their lives, they don't have transportation, they have activities with their kids, it's not workable. So you start putting those families in the situation of saying, now you also have to overcome a presumption of 35%. You have to now prove why that doesn't work. So that's where it really impacts the negotiating, is because you're kind of moving the fences in of where people start with their negotiating. And if it's already a place where they feel like it's not going to work for them, you're probably not going to have a very successful negotiation on this issue. And so that's part of our concern with that number, moving it up to 35%, is you just start to enter a more kind of an area where less families are able to make it work. For those families who can make it work, That's great, and we hope they do reach agreements to do shared parenting where it's appropriate and they can make that work with each other. The courts can and do approve them now. Our concern is just the legislature stepping in and kind of resetting those fences of negotiation where we think families should be able to really kind of for themselves try and sort that out. And when they can't, that's when the court should step in and look at the best interest factors.
Is it Ms. Hagdahl?
Hagdahl, sorry. Hagdahl.
In 2006 when this was changed, mm-hmm. what was the base then? Where did we start at then?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my recollection in 2006 was that there was the best interest factors, and this was put in to be it wasn't that far from common practice in some areas. And I think because of the fact that people wanted to have some kind of feeling of a minimum floor of that public policy, that was why, as Mr. Carlson discussed, a lot of discussion was had about where to set the floor that still worked with the best interest factors and gave families choices about what worked for them. And so there was a fairly broad consensus at that time that 25% was kind of the right number. And over the last, you know, few years, there are still families who work that out. The courts are developing a new process to help families do early intervention to work out agreements. And so it's kind of starting to gel together. And this really does move the fence. And I think that's one of the main concerns we have is moving that fence in.
We weren't going to get into the policy,
sorry,
but we did. So now I guess it would be only fair if the other side would like to make a comment.
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm sorry, I just wanted to add one thing. Mr. Carlson reminded me as well. Because the 25% came in with the child support guidelines, that was the first time there was an adjustment for parenting time that linked the percentage of time to your child support order. And so that was another factor in putting some number in. 25% was negotiated to make it accommodate with the best interest factors and not tip that scale too far either way.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, members, and that's why we when you talk about child support, we didn't mess with child support payments because many parents just want time with their kids. And because there's that minimum floor, that's typically where it's negotiated from. And so people argue for that. And so it's a losing battle for the people that want more time many times because it says 25%.
We do want to keep this brief. But
yes,
since we did have people go off of the financial implications,
yes.
I guess it's only fair to let you rebut that a little.
I wasn't planning on rebutting. Madam Chair, Peter Hargis, citizen, Minnesota. I would just keep my comments to the fiscal impact. If this is the right thing to do, if this is the just thing, then we can't afford not to fund this. That's briefly what I want to say. And second of all, to rebut Mr. Carlson, he seems to think the person with 25 and 35% has the control. I'm wondering about the other 75 or 65%. I wonder if that person has control at all. So it seems kind of it's mesmerizing how somebody with 25% in an existential can't even form their child in the way that the other side can. So, and while the legislature debates this, I'm existentially or conditionally losing my son, I would have to say. So, thank you.
Thank you. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if anybody's brought this up. I'm sorry I was late, but I was wondering, what does this do when you start moving that up to the premise of no-fault divorce? It seems to me like it would create a situation more and more where the one parent or the other is trying to find terrible things about the other parent to prevent them from getting that amount of custody. And I can imagine that there'd be bigger battles waged within the courts than there is already when you raise that number.
Senator Jungbauer.
Madam Chair, Senator Goodwin, I think you're right, and it's a sad thing, and I don't know how we protect against that, but it's interesting the calls I have that, you know, people are saying, well, you can't raise that, and all this stuff is going on behind the scenes, but we can't prove it, and it's a tough deal because, like, the father that was just up here said, you know, one side gets the child more and gets more control on how that child develops and grows. And many parents, the parents that came to me over the years, I worked on this over several years, then handed it off to somebody else, and then I did take the bill back. But you see the parents that are just saddened by, because that 25% is there, and it may just be the floor, but many courts use that, and the other parent is away from the child 75% of the time. And it's not about the child support. They weren't trying to come to me and say, we want it, the child more just so we can lower the support. We want to be able to have that time with our child so that child gets to know us and gets to know what's going on. And, you know, Ms. Hugdahl talked about the realities of life. Well, life is complicated and complex today, and those parents that want the time and can't get it because we have this floor in there, it's kind of tragic because they will give up many things and move closer. Or I've got many friends that moved out of state to be with their kids when their ex-wives moved out of state and got remarried, and just to be closer. So parents want to have time with their kids, and just by this 35%, it's about time with the kids. We didn't change anything else. And if there's other issues, again, you know, violence or other things, or if the judge even decides that there's something else wrong, that they shouldn't get any time, that's still in the statute. The judge can still decide that the other parent can get no time.
Right, or they decide supervised visits only.
Right.
Whatever. Senator Bonna?
Madam Chair, given we are speaking about the policy, would this be an appropriate time for me to make comments on in support of the bill, or do you want to let the testifiers go first?
We're going to take very brief testimony, so we have to be out of here by noon.
Yep.
So if you would like to identify yourself and make some brief comments.
My name is Molly Olson. I live in Little Canada, Minnesota. I am the volunteer citizen behind this bill through a volunteer, 100% volunteer organization called the Center for Parental Responsibility. I've been working on this bill and this issue for 13 years, and I was not prepared at all to talk about policy today. That wasn't my expectation. But since a few things have been said that I think need to be clarified, I decided to come up here. First of all, there's been this handout given in multiple hearings about how many overnights within a two-week period, and that gives all of you the impression that the time has to be divided out in 2 weeks. It doesn't have to be. There's nothing that says that time has to be divided out within a two-week period. It can be divided out any way the parents would choose to divide out that time. For example, the 35%, you could still do the every other weekend and one night a week, maybe two nights a week, and then more time in the summer. I mean, there's so many different ways that has to be done. So please just don't be mistaken that that's going to be required to be done within a two-week period. The other issue is with domestic violence. We all agree that domestic violence is a terrible, horrible thing, and we're grateful for the organizations that have changed the way of thinking for not only our state but the country to protect women and children. On the other hand, right now, the domestic violence statute is so broad, so vague, so all-inclusive that someone only has to go and say, basically, that I feel like I'm in fear, and that's enough to take somebody's kids away, sometimes for a lifetime. There's a case going up to the appeals court right now on that. None of those statutes have changed. Every single thing that's in place right now to protect women and children in 518B.01, a completely different statute, still exists, left completely untouched. So please understand that. The other thing is, without a basis for equality, which we don't have right now, we have a win-lose model, 25%, 75%. Now this is going to go to 35%, 65%. It's still not a model of equality. It's like telling blacks that they get equal rights 25% of the time or 35% of the time and then just fight over the rest. Or telling women they can vote 35% of the time and just fight over the rest. You know, how well would that work? Unless parents have equality, a basis of equality, the mediation, there's no grounds for mediation because anybody who thinks they're going to win is just going to put their heels in the sand and go to court. We need a basis of equality for mediation to help put the power back in the hands of parents to do the right things for their children. The U.S. Supreme Court has said in Troxell v. Granville and in many other U.S. Supreme Court cases that fit parents are assumed to act in the best interest of their children. And given the right statutes that give a baseline of equality, they will act in the best interest of their children. for the majority of those parents. Right now, the current system, because it is a win-lose model, does, you're right, Senator Goodwin, almost force every parent to say every bad thought they've ever had about the other parent because they are afraid they might lose their kids. And that's what the lawyers force them to do, is to write these documents, say these things in court that they can never, ever take back. And how does that affect the children? Terribly. But a basis for equality would change that. This is one tiny, tiny, tiny baby step, and obviously a huge disappointment from the House bill for us supporters. Last but not least, discretion. Judge's discretion has come up several times here. Currently in law, family law gives judges pretty much virtually 100% totally unbridled discretion. That ought to be a concern. It would be a concern in every other area of the law. That's one reason we have sentencing guidelines, right? Unbridled discretion leads to trouble, and there's been a lot of trouble and unfairness in family court. This doesn't change that, though. With this law, that 100% unbridled discretion will continue. And appeals court, you can read appeals court cases, case after case, time after time, and they say judges have discretion. The appeals court won't even turn them over right now because the appeals court has entire discretion. But with that said, that's just what I went on to respond to some of the key things that had been mentioned. Thank you for your time, Senator Roebling and committee.
Thank you, Ms. Nelson. Any questions? Any questions about the bill from members? Senator Goodwin?
I have one more. I heard what their testifier just said, but to go back and talk about how parents are doing that, and I know they are still doing that and finding terrible things to say about each other, which, as you said, it does affect the children. I don't see how that can't be a worse situation the more you raise that bar. How could it be any better? There's nothing in this bill. That's one of my questions. The other one is, what do we expect this to accomplish if it's not really about the money? Can you put something in here that says that there's no change in the child support payments if they get an extra 10% or whatever? I mean, if it's truly not about the child support, you still have one parent that's doing most of the parenting in most cases. And if they get deducted for those extra days, that is going to make a difference in that child's life as well. So I wonder what your comment is on that.
Senator Jungbauer.
Madam Chair, Senator Goodwin, that's why we didn't touch that part of the statute, because when we sat down behind the scenes and talked about that, we didn't want to get into the child support because, yes, wherever the child lives most of the time, that would be where most of the expenses would be incurred. But as we, and the House bill went through a lot of things, but when we sat down again behind the scenes with as many parties as I could, there was no more appetite for anything other than to move this small amount from 25 to 35% and not deal with any other, anything else in the statute. Ms. Olson said it's a baby step, but I looked at a lot of other things, and I've worked on other things for the past 10 years, and the House made a lot of changes and went through some of those issues. But on the Senate side, again, no appetite to do anything other than baby steps, and even that, you see, has some folks fighting about that. But to get back to the arguing back and forth and making up things about each other, as Ms. Olson said, really to stop that, you'd almost have to have that 50-50 because you have to start at an equality before people can actually sit down and start saying nice things about each other to try to work that out. But as soon as there's a win-lose situation, then somebody's got to win by having the biggest percentage, and that's where the ugliness comes in.
Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a tough subject, I think, for many of us, and being someone who's now a mother of a blended family, I've gone through it personally, and I don't ever talk about it very often because it was such a painful thing, you know, some 20 years ago when I went through a divorce. But I remember being very sad about going through that process and looking at my then husband and saying, you know, well, I need to have custody. You know, I don't want this. I'm going to have custody. And he looked at me and he said, I might as well be dead if you do that. I will be dead. And something just changed, and I said to him, I won't do that. And so we did joint custody, both physical and legal, and I'm so proud of how that decision impacted my boys' lives and who they are today. And I still have an outstanding relationship with their father, but more importantly, they have an outstanding relationship with their father. And so I do support this bill, and I know every situation's different, but as we look at the tragedies that occur in divorced families, and in those particularly, I look at the boys who don't have the influence of their fathers in their lives. And we've heard statistics over and over that, you know, the most important thing for some of these particularly at-risk young men is the absence of a father figure. Anything we can do to, while still protecting their safety and the safety of the mother and the family, but to right that balance and to make sure that our children have the benefit of both a mom and a dad, I think we owe it to them. And so while it is tough to talk about those times and it's not something I want to do, I remember back during that time that we said we were going to use our sadness to make a difference going forward for other children. And so it is because of that that I'm speaking out. Thank you. So I do support the bill.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. It may be time for a motion. Senator Bonoff. Senator Bonoff moves that House File 322. There is no amendments, but as in front of us, be recommended to pass and placed on general orders. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay.
No.
The motion does prevail. The bill will be placed on general orders. Thank you, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And before we adjourn, I just want to take a moment to thank all my members. This is probably our last meeting, and I appreciate your thoughtful discussions that we've had in this meeting. And I want to thank quickly our staff. We have Barb Miller, our page over there. John Lundberg is my LA. And Jennifer Burquam has done an excellent job serving both Senator Magnus and myself as committee administrator throughout this session. Today we have Chris Turner here because Brent Gustafson already went off to his new job on May 1st. And Tom Bodern has just stepped out because his child is here on tour of the Capitol for his class with his school. So I just want to thank all of them for all of the work they've done this session to help this committee run smoothly. Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, just like with education, where we had our last committee meeting also being the last